Introducing Strap to the Blind and Beyond audience. 3 years in the making, Strap is an innovative wearable device that fits over the chest and is designed to detect any type of obstacle. Strap's vast array of sensors work by sending real-time information that detects obstacles at your head, chest, and below the waist, including bumps, holes, and steps, then notifying you with haptic language vibrations. Designed for all ages and shipping globally later this year. At Strap Technologies, we believe that autonomy and independence are human rights, not luxuries. Our goal is to be the first replacement of the white cane, giving the visually impaired a long overdue hands-free experience. For more information, visit strap.tech.
Some of the toughest training in the military is actually enjoyed by some pretty tough American veterans who have lost their sight. Members of the Blinded Veterans Association, or BVA. They spend a long weekend of rigorous U.S. Army Mountain Ranger training at Camp Frank D. Merrill Military Base in Georgia. Activities include hiking up a rock-strewn trail, climbing cliffs, rappelling on a synthetic rock wall, shooting live fire from shotguns, assault rifles, and pistols, and competitive foot races. In addition, the veterans are treated to a barbecue, a fish fry, and a critter cookout. The veteran trainees are all legally blind and from several eras of service. BVA is the only veteran service organization exclusively dedicated to serving blinded veterans and their families. Its Operation Peer Support Initiative, which arranges the trip, helps newly blinded veterans look ahead to the possibilities and opportunities their lives still present through social activities, counseling, and educational forums on benefits and rehabilitation. Learn more at bva.org.
You are not your diagnosis. Your medical chart is not your identity. And your vision loss does not define you. Your drive shows who you are. You are not alone because we are driven too. To be a beacon of strength, a champion of courage, and an advocate for hope. You are not alone because we are stronger together. We drive the research for the cures. We're fighting macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and the entire spectrum of blinding retinal diseases. We fund, we fight, we win. We are the foundation fighting blindness. Join the fight at fightingblindness.org or call us at 1-800-683-5555. We are together.
Spectrum knows watching TV isn't the same experience for everyone. Download the new Spectrum Access app from the App Store and enjoy audio description playback for movies and shows on your mobile device. The app syncs the descriptive tracks to the correct point. Audio description content is curated based on Spectrum's on-demand library, though you can enjoy the app with any platform. Best of all, Spectrum Access is free to all users. The Spectrum Guide with guide narration lets you browse the guide on TV and hear show titles, times, and descriptions using our dedicated remote. Watching Spectrum TV on Apple TV, phone, or tablet? Take advantage of the accessibility features of your device in combination with the Spectrum TV app. Spectrum is proud to provide free, professional installation for customers with disabilities requiring assistance with new orders, upgrades, or equipment repairs. Spectrum is here for you. For additional accessibility support, call 1-844-762-1301. Spectrum. Think forward.
Are you looking for a way to connect with leaders in the blindness and low vision field? Sponsor with VisionServe Alliance to get access to over 120 CEOs, executive directors, and other decision makers. Be an exhibitor at our spring or fall conference to share your products and services, network with your target market, and gain valuable leads from around the country. Want to sponsor right now? Share your services in our newsletter, on our social media, and with live commercials before our virtual events. Find out more and get in contact with us at visionservealliance.org/sponsorship.
Foundation fighting blindness. Together we're fighting, together we're winning.
We're driving the research to find the cures for blinding retinal diseases.
Foundation fighting blindness.
When you call our advertisers, please remember to mention that you heard it on the Blind and Beyond radio show.
Live from the Spectrum Power Studios. Live from Orlando, Florida. there's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up.
Welcome back to the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. This is your host, Michael. Welcome back. We're live from Orlando, Florida, and this is the second hour of the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. And like I said, the first hour, for you folks that has ever done anything on March the 17th, which is St. Patty's Day, why don't you call in? It's a special prize for the one that we think is the best one.
Okay.
So we're waiting for you to call in. The phone number to call in is 407-894-1680. 407-894-1680. Hope I did it slow enough for you.
Michael, we're going to go to your trivia now, right?
Okay.
We don't have too much time. In this
we're
going
to go to trivia now. This trivia was an easy one for me to pick. I'm sure when you hear the voice, you'll recognize it right away. So who is singing this song? This was a big song. The artist, well, you should be able to recognize the voice right away. 407-894-1680. Who's singing the song? Okay, so who's singing the song? 407-894-1680. And by the way, if you missed any part of this show or any show in the last, well, almost 6 years, there's more than 300 we archived. And you go to blindandbeyondradioshow.org. That's blindandbeyondradioshow.org. Don't forget the A-N-D and blindandbeyondradioshow.org. Look us up. Check our website. And by the way, if you would like to write to us for any reason, it's Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Michael, at blindandbeyondradioshow.org. So who was singing that song? 407-894-1680. You should recognize the voice right away.
Sounds very similar to another song that you did.
Well, don't say nothing. Don't give it away.
I'm just saying.
Don't give it away.
I was sitting at home. Similar, that's all I said.
The voice sounds familiar.
I wish I could play.
The voice sounds, of course, pretty much all her songs sounded because her voice sounds the same.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, you don't give it away.
I'm not.
Don't give it away, Michael. Thank you, Phil, for sticking up for me.
It wasn't Patty Page.
Well, I know.
Chris is sitting there taking the phone calls right now. I just know it. Sheila, so, you psyched about our next guest?
Yes, I did. That's exactly what I was doing. You hit it right on the head. Listen, I got two callers.
I can see you all the way over here in Ocoee.
I got two callers. Well, I got three. I got a third one ringing in now. I got Anthony from West Palm Beach, and then I got Derek from Orlando.
I believe Anthony is on that list, Chris. So Anthony has to wait 30 days until he can win.
All right. Then let's go to Derek. Derek from Orlando. Derek, how you
Derek
doing,
from
sir?
Derek from Orlando. Who else is on the line before we talk to Derek?
Who else is there? He didn't know. He hadn't answered the phone.
Oh, he hasn't known.
Oh.
Derek, you there, Derek?
Hi, Derek.
Yeah, I sure am.
Hi. Hello,
Hi,
Derek.
How you doing?
All right.
How you doing? More important.
Yeah. No, I'm doing. Okay.
Are you gonna get your vaccination for the COVID-19?
I had it 3 or 4 days ago, and it whacked me for 2 days with side effects, but now I'm feeling great.
Great.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
Great.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And don't forget to keep wearing your mask.
Oh, my God. Yes, no, that I do. I, you know, only stupid people think that the vaccine is foolproof.
So, Derek, did you call about the trivia?
Yes, I did. There was Aretha Franklin, I think.
You are right. The song is not called I Think, and it was Aretha Franklin. You got both.
He said I Think.
You think. That's funny. He said Aretha Franklin, I Think, and that's the name of the song, I Think. You just won yourself a $10 gift card from the Subway.
Something like that. I believe the name was Freedom, maybe?
It's Aretha Franklin.
Yeah,
the name of the song was
that's what counts.
Aretha Franklin. So give your name off the air. Give your name and address. We can send you a $10 gift card from Subway.
Tell him the name of the song. Okay.
The name of the song was called I Think.
No, it's called Think. He named it I Think.
Think. Just think.
Just think.
I think. It
means
I still think.
Hey, Derek, hold on one moment, Derek. Don't hang up.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Hold on one moment, all right, Derek?
Hold on, Derek, and give your name and address. We'll send you out a $10 gift card from Subway. Anybody else on the line?
Yes, sir. We have, let me make sure I'm saying this name right, Aquanda. Aquanda from Orlando. Did I say it right, Aquanda?
Yes, you did.
Okay, so I get a brownie for the day. Aquanda, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. Is this your first time calling in?
Yes, it is.
All right, Aquanda.
Yay.
Okay, Aquanda, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it so much. Now, somebody won this, who it was, for Aretha Franklin. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever done anything different on March 17th in your life?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I would give you a prize for March 17th. St. Patty's Day.
Well, keep on listening.
Keep on listening. We have prizes all the time. Okay. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate you for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Are you sighted? Quanda?
She hung up.
All
righty. And I know I still got Anthony. You want to just say hi to Anthony?
Yeah, we'll say a quick hello, and then we'll go to break.
All right, so we got Anthony on the phone line. Anthony from West Palm Beach. Anthony, how you feeling?
Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
All right. I won last month. I thought it was every month you could do it.
No.
I won the end of this month.
You won at the end of the month, right? So you got to wait 30 days.
No, it was the end of the month.
Let Chris be the bad guy.
It's 30 days. It's not per month. It's 30 days whenever last time you won. Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you for listening, Anthony. Appreciate it so much.
All right. Chris, let's go to break now because we come back.
We're going to break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Blind and Beyond radio show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Spectrum has great news for blind and beyond listeners. You can now catch all the news and stay informed with the Spectrum News app. Born accessible, the Spectrum News app has built-in compatibility with Apple and Android accessibility features. When you download the Spectrum News app, you can stay in the know with live news, access Spectrum's portfolio of news networks wherever you are. The live news gives you timely information and breaking news. Read local news articles with coverage from our Spectrum News journalists and local partner publications. And get weather forecasts from our meteorologists, including hourly forecasts and updates so you can plan your day. Best of all, you can even customize your experience by browsing and following topics you're interested in, including local politics, education, traffic, health, and more. Download the Spectrum News app today. Not a Spectrum customer? Download the app and enjoy free access on us for 30 days. The Spectrum News app with built-in accessibility is your community connection, providing stories and information that matter to you and your community. Download it today.
Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together we're fighting.
together we're winning.
We're driving the research to find the cures for blinding retinal diseases.
Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Able Docs is proud to support the Blind and Beyond radio show. With Able Docs document accessibility services, we are able to provide full content accessibility solutions that are unmatched by any other provider in the marketplace. We are the only organization that guarantees the compliance of every document we produce, and we back that compliance with a $10 million liability policy. Create, remediate, validate, educate. Able Docs, Inc., the worldwide leader in PDF accessibility products and services. Visit us at abledocs.com. That's ABLEDOCS.com.
You are not your diagnosis. Your medical chart is not your identity. And your vision loss does not define you. Your drive shows who you are. You are not alone, because we are driven to be a beacon of strength, a champion of courage, and an advocate for hope. You are not alone, because we are stronger together. We drive the research for the cures. We're fighting macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and the entire spectrum of blinding retinal diseases. We fund, we fight, we win. We are the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Join the fight at fightingblindness.org or call us at 1-800-683-5555. We are together.
Protect your head from tree branches, signs, and anything your cane doesn't pick up with the Sunu Band, the first smart mobility aid for blind pedestrians.
It's very discreet. I can scan around with my wrist, and the vibrations tell me where the obstacles are in real time. It's like having an invisible cane for my upper body. It makes it easy to keep social distance, navigate crowds, following waiting lines, and more. On top of that, the free mobile app guides me to places, streets, and destinations step by step. The best part is I don't need to take my phone out of my pocket to use these features. Sunu Band is amazing.
Visit sunu.com and learn more. Use discount code BEYOND40 and receive $40 off your Sunu Band. That's sunu.com. SUNU.com. Let's be honest. Many of us experience joint discomfort and achiness and stiffness and soreness that comes with inflammation and age. Many of us are baby boomers. Well, Upgrade is a health and wellness company committed to revolutionizing healthcare through plant-based ingredients. Upgrade's flagship product, Perform Daily Inflammation, or Perform for short, is designed to alleviate joint discomfort, aches, and stiffness, and the soreness that comes with inflammation. Upgrade Perform uses a proprietary blend of turmeric, ashwagandha, tart cherry, and ginger root that is fully organic and consists of the most bioavailable turmeric on the market, without unnecessary additives like black pepper and harmful synthetic chemicals. To learn more, visit them at www.upgrade.com, and that's spelled U-P-G-R-A-I-D. And don't forget to use promo code RADIO20 at checkout to receive 20% off on all orders. Let Upgrades Perform perform for you.
Introducing Strap to the Blind and Beyond audience. 3 years in the making, Strap is an innovative wearable device that fits over the chest and is designed to detect any type of obstacle. Strap's vast array of sensors work by sending real-time information that detects obstacles at your head, chest, and below the waist, including bumps, holes, and steps, then notifying you with haptic language vibrations. Designed for all ages and shipping globally later this year. At Strap Technologies, we believe that autonomy and independence are human rights, not luxuries. Our goal is to be the first replacement of the white cane, giving the visually impaired a long overdue hands-free experience. For more information, visit strap.tech.
Whenever you talk to our sponsors, don't forget to mention that you heard it on the Blind and Beyond radio show.
Live from the Spectrum Power Studios.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. This is your host, Michael. And for those folks who are in the car, turning the dials, what do you want to listen to? Well, I hope you listen to us. We say we're the bridge between the blind community and the sighted community. That's right. 30% of our audience is sighted, listening to the show. And we thank you very much for listening to the show. So don't turn the dial. We've got a lot of things coming up. Lynn's going to introduce you to the next person coming on. And let me just tell you something right now. This gentleman is amazing. Lynn?
You better let me introduce him before Miss Green takes over the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's my pleasure, first of all, to thank Dan Day, who called in earlier. Thank you, Dan, for introducing us to our next guest caller. We appreciate it very much. I'd like to introduce Nicholas Giudice, who is a PhD and founder and chief research scientist at VemiLab, University of Maine. And his expertise is autonomous vehicles and how to make them more accessible. Welcome, Nicholas. We're so happy that you're on the show.
Welcome. Thank you all. And yes, thanks to Dan for making the introduction. So yeah, my area of research is in accessible technology and information access. I'm congenitally blind, and so this is something that's, as many out there have experienced, trying to figure out how to access things like graphs and maps and things is challenging. But my newest area of interest is in the, what I think of as the biggest technological advancement in transportation since Henry Ford released the Model T in 1908. And I'm talking about fully autonomous vehicles, or what I'll just call AVs here for short. And so these are things that many have heard of. Most people don't really understand. A lot of people are, you know, don't necessarily trust them. That makes a lot of sense. But whether we like it or not, these driverless vehicles, where we have kind of what you can think of as an AI driver, an artificial intelligence kind of computer driving, and the human is just a passenger, whether they're sighted or not, they're going to be on the road in 5 to 10 years. And, you know, in many ways, this is hugely exciting, especially to blind folks such as myself and you know, others who independent travel and being able to go where you want, when you want, how you want is often challenging. And it's really exciting to think about, you know, having a vehicle that could help with this. But there's also a lot of challenges and a lot of things that need to be figured out if these things are going to actually work. And the first one is just a general thing where almost all the research that's going into these vehicles, and it's a huge amount of money, is something like a tenfold increase from $50 billion to $550 billion from 2020 to 2025, you know, it is on engineering factors, control algorithms, sensors, how to keep them on the road, and things that we obviously want to happen. Very little on human factors, though, in thinking about how the human is going to interact with the AI driving the vehicle, and even less on how this will impact people that can't see. So I think the main challenge for blind folks is, in a lot of ways, the interfaces of these things, how to control the operations, how to control the driving functionality, how to figure out where they're going, because currently the designs are all visually based. So they're using visual interfaces. They're using touch screens that don't have accessibility features. And that's a challenge. You know, even in current semi-autonomous vehicles, or, you know, we're kind of heading toward autonomy, but we're not there yet. I was in a Tesla with a friend recently, and I couldn't even get the darn radio on to figure out how to get my window to move because you have to use a touchscreen.
Nicholas, yeah. I'd like to interrupt for just 10 seconds. I wanted to remind everybody, please call in. Nicholas is here, hopefully for the two segments, and call in and ask him questions or make comments. It's 407-894-1680. Thank you. Sorry, Nicholas.
Yeah, this isn't going to work. Like, this is what gets me frustrated with research. You know, a lot of people will design something, and they think it's to help accessibility, but they have no idea about accessibility, or, you know, maybe they saw a blind person, like, you know, at the corner, and they're like, oh, I can solve something. And they don't talk to the person. I want, in the work that I do in my lab and the work that we're going to do for this, I want input from people that are going to use this. So the people that call in want to be involved with the focus groups, want to be involved with what we're doing. I want your input. The grassroots is what's going to make a difference here. So anyway, part of my work here is trying to just design new ways to interact with the vehicle's AI and through the control center of the touchscreen. So we're developing a lot of techniques that are integrating new techniques or technologies using voice and using vibration and touch and gestures. You can think of it kind of as voiceover on steroids to figure out how to allow access with the touchscreen and let people interact with things like maps and using new techniques through gestures, which I think is exciting. It's certainly going to be necessary if these things are actually going to work and we're going to make them accessible in terms of operation, in terms of driving functions and the like. Some of it is also just thinking about new ways that current technologies are working but aren't working in a way that's going to be sufficient. So, for example, there's no longer going to be, because these things won't have steering wheels and they won't have, the traditional driving approach, there won't be a seating situation where everybody's facing forward. It's going to be living room seating, I think of it, where you're kind of sitting around the vehicle. And so that's, has some advantages. But one of the challenges is that the current auditory and verbal systems that are being proposed will say you're at your destination or your destination's on your left. Well, what does that mean if the car doesn't know the orientation of the user? So if I'm a blind person and I'm sitting in an orientation that's not how the system thinks I am, and I think the left is getting out into traffic because I'm not exactly sure of the orientation of the car, that doesn't make any sense. So these systems are going to need to track where the actual user is in the vehicle and then update the information, the verbal information, so it's given in a way that makes sense and is relevant. And that may seem kind of trivial in some ways, but I think as you think about a lot of the different descriptions that might be given. So we no longer have a driver. So if, like many of you, when I get out of a cab or an Uber or what have you, I might say, okay, can you explain where the door is to the drugstore, wherever I've gone? These are things that are now going to need to be built into some sort of querying system or some sort of system that allows the AI to not only be able to provide that information, but to do it based on where I'm sitting in my orientation, which is actually kind of difficult. And so we need to think about ways that will work. Another problem is that making the car itself accessible, which is where the few people that are working in this area are doing, that's obviously important, but it's not the end of the story, and it's not really enough. We also need to think about how do you find these things? How do you enter them when you no longer can't, when you're not able to talk to a human driver? So the issue is that pretty much all of the big manufacturers that are going to be involved in autonomous vehicles are saying that they're going to be ride-shared. So it's going to be a large unit. People won't necessarily own them, and so there's going to be these huge fleets of cars that drive around without humans and are going to pick people up. So that makes it even harder than normal to go out and find you. And this is true for everyone, but particularly if you can't see the vehicle and you can't maybe find its identifying marks, how do you know how to get to the vehicle when you can't talk to a human anymore? So we're developing this system. This is a new project through called the Inclusive Design Challenge, the Department of Transportation. And they put out this really innovative prize, and I'm really happy that the government's trying to do something that's not a standard grant. It's a prize to kind of incentivize people across agencies and across groups to think about inclusion as part of a general aspect of design that can be used by manufacturers and try to leverage manufacturers to adopt some of what's being developed. Our system is called AVA, which is the Autonomous Vehicle Assistant. Essentially, what we're trying to do is use a phone app that will communicate with the autonomous vehicle. So when you summon your car on these ride-shared fleets, kind of like the Uber app, it'll give you a lot more information about how to find it. So if you go outside, we're now using things that I'm calling compensatory augmentation. So if you have some vision, and a lot of people, especially older adults or a lot of low vision people, have usable vision, this will provide, using what's called computer vision, to interpret the environment and provide essentially an arrow and some highlighting of where to go and where your car is, identifying, highlighting where the handle is and the outline of the vehicle. Again, this is particularly useful for older adults who might have lower contrast.
Hey, Nick.
But it's also going to be used. Oh, excuse me.
Nick, how you doing? This is Chris over in the studio. Listen, I got a couple of call. I got a call on the airwaves who got a couple of questions and want to chime in with you. This is some pretty amazing technology we have in today's society, right? Listen, I have Dan.
Absolutely.
I have Dan Day from Altamont Springs. Dan, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, you got the floor, Dan, for the question.
Well, Ray, good evening. Great information, Nick. Really, really good information. I wondered, I would assume that the way this app is being developed, does it require some, like an API or some such thing to interact with the vehicle's software itself? And if so, well, not necessarily if so, but I wondered, I assume that you would need to talk with the autonomous vehicle manufacturers as well and work with them to get it integrated. Have you had pre-discussions to see how receptive they are to it and any felt them out at all? That was really my main question.
Bingo, and brilliant question. Yeah, I mean, you're jumping ahead a little bit because we're trying to just get a lot of the stuff started, and right now we're simulating how we would connect with the autonomous vehicle. But you're right, it's not going to work unless we do it, and what we're really pushing is to use technology like the user's smartphone so we don't have to have a lot of expensive technology that they need to buy, but also has a lot of the built-in accessibility features, but also the connectivity to connect in with, as you said, using an API or some embedded proprietary system if it needs to be, but a way for the app to talk with the computational kind of guts of the system, of the autonomous system. Short answer is yes. Very early, Waymo is one of the other IDC winners from the DOT. They're an autonomous vehicle company. So we've been interested in talk with them some, and just this very early stage, and a couple of other companies. Our hope is to show that this works and it can be done affordably and it can be done in a way that actually benefits a lot of people. This idea of inclusive or universal design of, you know, how something might help a blind person but also could help and will help almost anybody trying to find these vehicles or someone that just likes to be able to use auditory tracks, channels or you know, haptic touch-based channels. More than vision, and that this is, you know, we'll show that this is a really affordable and economic and important way of interacting with these vehicles. That our sort of proof of concept and early research will kind of set the stage for them wanting to adopt this stuff. But yeah, it will need buy-in from OEMs and the manufacturers, and that's kind
pardon
of
me,
where
Nicholas.
We want to go next.
I'd like to interrupt you. If those folks would like to call in, the phone number to call in is 407-894-1680. 407-894-1680 if you'd like to ask Nicholas any questions. Ed, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Ed, Nicholas.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, just where we're going with this, or what are the tools, or what are what is the information that people need in you know, developing an end-to-end access, right? So it's not just in cabin making the thing work. It's not just finding the car. It's not just having it being able to, you know, get information about where the car is in relation to your destination, but how we do this in a seamless system. And I'm very interested in talking with people. As I said before, you know, my assumptions are one thing, and I have, you know, some knowledge as a blind guy that's experienced this, but it certainly isn't the only knowledge, and it's only going to work if we get input from people that say, yeah, when we're looking for the car, we want a vibration beacon that we really follow, or we want spatialized audio, so not just language, but we want to be able to hear it from coming from an actual location in space. So if anyone's used Microsoft Soundscape, it's a good example of that, where you kind of hear something out there in 3D space, and it's not just the words, but you hear it as if it was coming from that location. Would that be useful? You know, I've done a lot of work with these types of interfaces, but not in this context. And I think that when we're dealing with you know, real-world scenarios where there's other environmental cues and people are moving and there's stress and there's other vehicles and other people, what is the best way to have the vehicle be able to call out to you? Do you want it to call your name? You know, which would be easy to set up a dashboard where your app, you know, you put in the information you want, and once the app connects with the vehicle could then call to you, but maybe people don't want their name to be called out. What are other ways that would be useful? So, you know, what I think will make this work beyond the technical development of, you know, underlying AI and computer vision and machine learning and all these complicated kind of technical things, which on the one hand are the easy part because we kind of know what needs to happen. What we don't know is, you know, what is the information that people want? What are the challenges that people actually are worried about? You know, it may not just be how to find the car, but it may be, what if the car's on the other side of the street and you don't know that, or it's parked behind, you know, off a curb, and someone that may have some vision loss but maybe, you know, isn't comfortable with their cane or dog. Maybe it's an older adult that's, you know, trying to figure out how to navigate with reduced vision but has trouble with curbs. You know, they would want to have highlighting of that curb to let them know that this is a potential hazard, what have you. So I think the more input we can get from listeners and from your listeners and from any potential users, the better we're going to be able to develop something that's going to be useful. Because at the end of the day, you know, I don't want to work on anything that's just going to be something that I write a paper about, you know, and you know, it's done. I mean, my point of doing research is to get stuff out there that will make a difference, and that we can, you know, try to tap into this amazing transportation potential of what's out there, and currently it's just not being thought about that much.
Nicholas, this is Sheila, and I have a concern about our senior population because, unfortunately, our seniors that are losing their vision or that aren't computer savvy absolutely refuse to use a smartphone. So there is no way in the world they would be able to use an AV without being able to use the smartphone, correct?
Well, they could potentially use an AV if they could get into it, you know, not using an app like we're using, but then all the systems inside would be touchscreen based. So I think that the challenge, yes, I think that's a challenge, but I think there's a caveat to that challenge. If we could make something that is, if the smartphone can be made in a way that the app is intuitive and makes sense and solves a real problem. So a lot of older adults have this, you know, the fear of losing your license or having your license taken away is a huge, it makes a huge difference to someone's independence, even if they know their vision is poor. But this is, you know, Maine, where I live, is the oldest population and median population in the country, and it's a fairly rural state. And so this is a huge problem because so many people don't want to lose their license. There isn't good public transportation places, but they also know that they're not safe and that they're putting themselves and others at risk. So I think that there may be a flipping of, you know, early adopters are usually kids, right? Or early, you know, young people that take technology and they get excited about it. I think that if we could solve the problem that you're saying with, you know, people don't want to have smartphones and they're intimidated by the technology, but if we could make something that's simple enough, I think that the use of AVs by older adults, they could become the early adopters because it really solves the problem of graceful transfer to something that they don't need to drive, but they can still get to where they're going. And I think what is also a big part of that then, and this is why actually you see a lot of ride sharing. Currently, Ubers and Lyfts have been hugely adopted by older adults. But a big part of that also we're finding from some early focus groups is that people like to talk and like to share, and that ride is not only functionally relevant, but it's also a way to socialize.
Uh-huh.
So can we build that into an AI? You know, like, I don't know what that exactly means, but I think that if a big part of it is not only being able to safely get around and not having to drive, but being able to communicate and have that sharing and interaction, is that something that actually could be developed as an important part of how older adults will interact with a system? So, yeah, I think there's definitely challenges, but I think there could be some benefits that might make it worth trying, them wanting to say, okay, I'm going to take the risk, I'm going to take the jump and try to figure this out. But it has to be designed right. It has to be simple, it has to be clear and intuitive.
Right. Right.
Nick, I got another call on the phone line calling in from Fern Park. Dave, are you there?
I am here.
Yes, Dave, go ahead. Hi, you got the floor.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hello there, guys and girls. It's great to hear everyone, and I'm so excited to hear about the autonomous vehicles, because I've always been interested in the whole idea behind it. My question for you is not so much once we get to the point where these are actually picking people up, but the more the mechanics, before it gets to that point, I'm kind of wondering, now, do these vehicles, is the biggest challenge these autonomous vehicles communicating with other vehicles around them, or are they going to be more communicating with sensors on the road, or exactly what is going to be the biggest thing that it uses for its guidance?
Thanks, Dave. You guys have a very intelligent listening base.
We pride ourselves on that, Nicholas. What's the requirement?
Dave, it's a great question. So I think this is one of the biggest challenges, and the answer is twofold. So if every car was autonomous, it would be pretty fine in the sense of safe, and everything would work well together because it would be, they'd just all be following specific algorithms. So the cars would be communicating with each other through car-to-car communication. There'd be some embedded road sensors and lots of other sensors that you may have heard of, like LiDAR and various types of sonar and the like. The big challenge, though, is that there's going to be legacy vehicles, manually driven vehicles, normal vehicles at this point, on the road, while there's autonomous vehicles. And the problem with humans, and the beauty of humans, is that we don't always do everything the same, right? So no matter how you program something in the autonomous vehicle, a human's going to screw up and do something different than it didn't expect. And so that's going to make it dangerous. And so I think that the path to full autonomy is going to have some real challenges in that, how do we get these autonomous vehicles to work with manually, vehicles that are not. And I think unless we probably need to legislate some minimal amount of sensors that will need to be on even manually driven vehicles to make them kind of work together. And I think that's going to be a huge, the technology is ahead of the policy here. That's another big problem. So, I'm talking a lot about accessibility stuff, which is behind. But the actual technology to make these things work is way ahead of what we need to do to figure out how to, both policy and legislation of how it will happen. So that will need to be figured out.
Do you have any other questions, Dave?
No, for now. That's great. I don't want to get too in depth, but that is interesting. And of course, I'm more thinking about someone actually owning a car like a Tesla. And of course, the lower model Teslas are getting in price for the average human almost. So I'm wondering if a car like that might be possible for an individual to own rather than have to be doing a ride-sharing thing.
Yeah, and I'm someone that loves, I like the idea of having my own car.
Right, me too.
But I think that once we start talking about something that really is fully autonomous and is something that will be, truly doesn't need a human to potentially take over, they're going to be a lot more expensive. And I don't know. I just know that the majority of car companies are saying they're going to be ride-shared. I'm sure people will own them, but I think they're going to be at a much higher price point than Tesla 3s, the current semi-autonomous vehicles.
Right. I mean, and even if you don't have other people riding with you, I could see that it certainly could be efficient because these cars don't need time to sit and rest or anything. Typically, they're not as many parts to run out. So, I mean, it would be the way to go. A lot less people would need to own their own cars.
Yeah, but Dave, you wouldn't be able to turn on the radio. Nicholas said he got in his friend's Tesla and couldn't turn on the radio.
That's all right. I bring my own tunes with me anyway.
that's the solution. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about other people. I bring my own with my own earbuds. So just in case.
Thanks.
All right.
Dave.
Well, thanks for doing what you're doing. That's great.
Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you,
Nicholas. Yeah. I have a question. What has been your reaction from some of your sighted friends and peers? Are they excited about the possibility, or are they apprehensive?
So it's interesting. So we informally ask everyone that comes to the lab when we were still really able to come to the lab. Hopefully that'll happen again soon. I'd say, okay, on a 1 to 10 scale, I imagine I have an autonomous vehicle outside the lab that's going to drive you home. What's the likelihood that you go out and get into it, 1 being absolutely and 10 being hell no? I'm at about about a 7.5. Yeah. Where people are just very distrustful. And this is what's been shown in the literature, too. I mean, there's a big loss of control. There's a big loss of people don't know why it's doing what it's doing. I mean, I think that's a big, another part of the research that we're doing is how can we make these things more, you know, how can we do trust building by developing what we're calling human-vehicle collaboration? So developing as if you would have two people collaborating, how do we make human-AI collaborations more natural so that human can trust what this AI is doing, and the AI knows how to interpret and ask the human questions so it gets the information it wants. I think blind people are, at least the ones I've asked, are far, I mean, I'm a one. I'd get right into the thing. They tend to be more wanting to do it, I think, just because it solves such a problem of independence. But, yeah, I mean, the trust issue is a big one that needs to be dealt with.
So is there any one car manufacturer that is leading, like Ford or?
GMC is, isn't it? Isn't GMC up there with it?
It depends on how you define leading. I mean, they're all putting a huge amount of money into what's being done. They all guard their information and research unbelievably. You know, it's like, you know, most people want to share their research, and you know, and I'm used to working with people that want to divulge what they're doing, and these manufacturers don't ever want to talk about it. So there's a lot, you know, Ford, GMC, Volvo, Mercedes, obviously Tesla, Toyota has a huge, they're all putting a lot of money into it.
Wow.
But one thing that I really would just like to say is, you know, anyone that wants to get involved.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Do you mind if I give my
absolutely. You can give out any information you like, whatever you prefer.
So there's a lot. I think the shortest way to get to us is VemiLab, VemiLab.org. That will forward you to the university website, but I think it's easier to remember. That just you can get to a lot of the pages on autonomous vehicles. If you want to just contact me. My email is Nicholas, N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S, .G-I-U-D-I-C-E, at Maine, M-A-I-N-E, .edu. And, yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear from people. And, you know, if you're interested in being involved in anything or just want to give input, that's what I want. I'm interested in getting people's input and figuring out how we can do this right.
And may I interrupt in saying, if you didn't get Nicholas's email, just write to Michael at blindandbeyondradioshow.org, as you know, and we will gladly forward your email to Nicholas. That would probably be the easiest way. So on another note, are you active in any organizations for the blind up there in Maine?
Well, I'm on the board of ACB.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on the board of the Iris Network, which is Maine's oldest organization doing vocational training and independent living and that type of work with blind folks from, you know, from job seekers to older adults. Yeah, and then I'm on the editorial board of some journals related to accessibility, but those are the two Maine-based ones.
Derek, Nick, you're really popular tonight because this is amazing. You're coming in with some information, and it's really amazing of what our technology can do. Listen, I have Derek on the phone line who has a question. Derek, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Derek.
You got good. Where's
he from?
Hi, Derek. It's from Orlando.
Oh, Derek from Orlando.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Derek again.
Hi there. I have a question for Nicholas regarding something I'd read a while back, which had informed me that the Chinese were by far the leaders in terms of electric vehicles that are now being built. I'm wondering how the AI fits into the Chinese production of vehicles, because I can only imagine those would come in at a much less expensive format. Maybe he could answer that.
Yeah, it's a good question. One I don't claim to have a definitive answer on. China is spent a lot of resources on AI and, you know, in computational development, but particularly in AI space. That's, you know, it does bring down costs, but it's also led to a lot of concerns with our government and export control and different types of, you know, how that information is being used. So I don't know how that will ultimately impact the AI that we're using, you know, how AIs that will be used in vehicles. I think the issue of security, though, is a huge one.
Right.
You know, and just thinking about when you can't take over a car and if it could be totally driven via computer, you know, what that means. And, you know, these are issues that are non-trivial and, you know, life or death. Like, I mean, if I don't communicate well with my Alexa, the worst that happens is my, you know, the wrong song plays, right?
Right.
This isn't life or death.
Nicholas, let me thank Derek for calling in. I believe we have another. Thank you for your question, and we're almost out of time. So let's take, Chris, we have another caller.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
I'm just trying to squeeze in one more caller quickly before we say goodnight.
No, that was it.
Is another caller?
No, that was it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that was it. Okay.
Well, and what would concern me about the Chinese would be they're not worried. They're not trying to gear it towards the disabled blind community, are they? They're just trying to do it for the energy factor, right?
Oh, they're definitely not doing it toward the blindness community.
Right. Right.
One last quick point that we submitted a paper on that I think is important and would like to ultimately get more input from people on is licensure. So, you know, one of the things that's frustrating is that a lot of states right now, even if you did have fully autonomous vehicles, you would still need a license. It doesn't make any sense when you have no longer a steering wheel and you can't even drive the thing.
Uh-huh.
So at some point, this is going to need to be dealt with and through the ADA or some other transportation acts. And we shouldn't be forcing a license for a vehicle that you can't physically drive.
Well, wasn't that part of our legislative imperative last year? And isn't it supposed to be included in the FAST Act and the Data Act for this year? Isn't it all wrapped into all of that legislation?
There are several pieces of legislation where this has been discussed, and it's been put in and taken out and moved and changed. And so there's something that just came out that I haven't read through that I think is addressing this again, but it's just one of these things where the policy needs to be figured out.
It's
something that's so important for blind folks and older folks. I just hope that pressure continues to stay on because it needs to be.
Well, I'm so happy that you're part of the board in Maine. That's awesome.
Well, thank you, Nicholas. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing all your knowledge and expertise.
You'll have to come back.
Absolutely. And next time we'll have more callers calling in and asking you questions and putting you on the spot.
Happy to do it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I hope you continue to listen to the show.
I will do. So now that I know, I'll definitely.
Yeah, spread the word. You never know what's going to happen on the Blind and Beyond radio show. Right, Michael?
Thank you, Nicholas.
You have Alexa home?
Yeah, he does.
Well, if you
so
have
many
it,
of them.
Well, you can listen on Alexa.
Yeah, you just tell her to pull up WOKB 1680 at 7 p.m. sharp Eastern time any given Sunday. All righty?
Thank you all.
It's so nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Good night. So, Sheila, before we go off the air, I know you're just chomping at the bite. I forget what it is with the horse.
Biting at the bullet.
But anyway, I know you'd like to share anything exciting that's happening with ACB coming up soon.
This is our anniversary this week. The ACB Community Calls has all 97 calls throughout this week. A lot of them are celebrating the fact that it's been a year since the Community Calls were started.
Wow.
Congratulations. And we would very much love for people to share, you know, tomorrow night we've got an event for all
state presidents and special affiliate presidents to share what they've done differently throughout this past year that they, of course, had to do because of COVID, and what makes their approach for the future different. You know, like Florida Council, we were the first state to ever do a virtual state convention. And after that, every state was doing, and special affiliate was doing their conventions via virtual.
And now you never have a free moment.
And now Florida Council is going to be the first state ever to do a hybrid where we're doing in person and via Zoom.
All right.
So, and on that note, Florida Council's registration is up and online. So if anybody is listening, all of our convention information is online at fcb.org. You can register for convention. You can see what our workshops will be. And this is exciting because it's only about 6 weeks away.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Sheila Michael. Here you go.
And if you folks out there are with NFB or any other organization, you want to call in and talk about your organization, feel free to call in. You can call in or write to us and tell us about what you're doing in your organization, whether it's NFB or any other organization. Call in. Let us know what you're doing. That's how we talk about it. If you call in and talk about it, you're more than welcome. You can call in 407-894-1680, or if you want to write to us, Michael at blindandbeyondradioshow.org. If you want to talk about your organization, what you're doing, feel free.
Okay, and I believe I hear some wonderful St. Patrick's Day instrumental in the background. Thank you for playing it. There you go. And I'd like to remind everybody, I'll speak softly so you can hear the music. I'd like to remind everybody to join us next week, same time, same place. March 21st show with co-host Dave Hillebrand. And guest callers will be Kyle Johnson, President and CEO, Lighthouse Central Florida. A guest from Upgrade, Foundation Fighting Blindness, and Strap Technologies. I'd like to wish you all a happy St. Patrick's Day this week, everybody.
Stay safe, everyone. And don't forget to wear your mask. And if you can, try to get your vaccination for the COVID-19.
And thank you, Sheila, for co-hosting tonight. Greatly
thank
appreciate
you, Sheila. Thank you, Chris Shaw.
You're welcome.
Did a great job.
Show.
Hey, thank you. You guys have a great night.
You too. Great
and listen,
show.
Folks,
you too, Chris.
Don't go away. We'll be right back in 1 week.
Down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.